This morning we'd like to look at the ninth chapter of Job, verses 32 and 33, where Job is responding to the discourse of Bildad. For Bildad has, in essence, repeated the same things that the first friend had said to Job. Basically, Job, if you'll just get right with God, everything else will be okay. And so Job is responding to his advice. Only his problem is, how can I get right with God? For he is not a man as I am, that I can answer him, that we should come together in judgment. And neither is there any daysman between us that might lay his hand upon us both. In the beginning of this chapter, Job acknowledges that the advice that his friends are giving to him is true. I know, Job said, that what you say is true. That is, that if a man will get right with God, basically his life will be well balanced. The most important relationship that any of us have is our relationship with God. This is the vertical axis upon which our lives revolve. If the vertical axis of your life is out of kilter, your life will be out of balance. You will not have good relationships with others. Your relationships will be all messed up because the basic axis of your life is off. The problem that man so often has is trying to balance his relationships. It seems to be topsy-turvy. And so we go to counselors and we talk about our relationships and the poor relationships that we have with our parents or with our children or with our boss or whatever, and we try to bring these things into some kind of a balance. And we spend our money in counseling sessions trying to somehow bring my life into perspective, when at the base, the core of my existence, I am in a wrong relationship with God. My relationship with God is out of kilter. And because of that, my whole life is messed up. And basically, this is what the friends of Job are saying to him. Job, your life is all messed up because somehow you're not in a right relationship with God. Now, what you need to do is just get into a right relationship with God, and God will then take care of you, and you won't be having all of these problems. And Job says, I know what you're saying is true. However, how can I get right with God? How can a man plead his case before God so as to justify himself in the eyes of God? That's what is meant when Job said, how can a man be just before God? The idea is standing before God, arguing my case before God, so as to show God where I'm okay, or show God where I'm right. Job saw the difficulty of trying to, in some way, communicate with God his position to justify himself before the Lord. For he saw the greatness of God and how small he was. Now, David saw this same thing in Psalm 8. He said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the sun, which thou hast, or the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God is so great, man is so small. How can God really be mindful of man? Now, Job saw much the same thing, the greatness of God, as was manifested in creation around him. He speaks about God being so wise. He speaks about God moving the mountains, shaking the earth, commanding the sun, establishing the constellations, spreading out the heavens, doing great things past man's finding out, wonders without number. God is so great. And yet, on the other hand, Job realizes, I'm so nothing, I'm so small. And Job's question was, how can I reach God? How can I possibly justify myself before God? David's question was, who is man that God is even mindful? How can God be mindful of man as great as he is and as small as man is? Job was turning it around. As great as God is and as small as I am, how can I ever justify myself before God? How can I reach God? And so Job saw this difficulty. I know that if I could get right with God, things would be okay. If I can just get the vertical axis of my life correct, the rest will take care of itself. But how can I? For God is so vast, God is so great, and I am really so nothing. And then Job says, I know that he exists. I know that he is there, but I can't see him. The fact of God's existence is obvious from creation, and yet I can't see him. I cannot perceive him. And I can't hinder God. Who am I that I should say unto God, why are you doing this to me? So Job sees a real dilemma here. Acknowledging advice is good, but there are problems with your advice. How can I say to God, what are you doing? Or why are you doing these things? Basically, Job realized that God was infinite, and he realized that he was a finite creature. And he realized that the gap between the infinite God and the finite creature is so great that it would be impossible for man to ever bridge the gulf between himself and God. And yet, that is exactly what religions have endeavored to do. The purpose of religion is to somehow build a bridge that will bring me to God. The center of and the seat of worldly religions was Babylon. Whenever you talk about Babylon, you're talking about the birth of religions. And it is the seat of the religious systems of man. It is interesting that Babylon does mean confusion. And there is so much confusion in the religions of man. And it is also significant that in Babylon, they were seeking to build a tower that would reach into heaven. And that is such an apt picture of every religious system. It is man starting with an earth base, seeking to build a tower that will somehow reach to heaven. Now, how high they built their tower, I don't know, before God came down and disrupted their building project. But let us say they built a tower of 5,000 feet high, trying to build the tower to reach heaven. We know that 5,000 feet doesn't get you even out of our atmosphere. Let's say they built it to 80,000 feet and got up into the stratosphere. Well, you're still bound in this whole earthbound system. They're still so far from reaching into heaven. as we understand how vast the heavens are. We haven't even left the plane, really, of our earth existence. And so man, in his religious systems, trying to build towers, trying to make bridges, trying to create a ladder by which he might ascend into heaven or unto God, is doomed to failure. For as Job correctly perceived, it would be impossible for a finite man to ever reach an infinite God. And thus, religions are doomed from the outset for failure. I am amazed, amused, and feel tremendous sympathy at the same time towards man and the things that he does in seeking to build his tower to reach heaven. The religious systems of man are amazing, amusing, and tragic. To think that if I wear certain kind of clothes, that brings me closer to heaven and closer to God. Robes are truly more spiritual than pants. They must be. And white robes give you even a little edge over plain colored robes. And if they are of satin and have a little shine, surely that brings me closer to God. Or if I stand on my head, or if I sit in a funny posture, my legs crossed, and the various ways by which man feels that somehow he can build his tower that's going to bring him in touch with God. It is tragic to me that man has sought to make a religion of Christianity. That he has brought in a lot of trappings from the religious systems of the world and introduced them within Christianity. That he has developed certain things, that if you do these things, you are more spiritual, or if you will follow this path, it will bring you closer to God. For it is impossible for man to ever bridge the gulf between himself and God, beginning with a earth base. It can't be done. Job recognized that difficulty. And so when his friends said to him, "Job, just get right with God and you'll be okay," he is, in essence, said, "Thanks a lot, pal. I know that. But how can I get right with God? He is so vast. I see his handiwork in the universe. But I'm nothing. If God should begin to cross-examine me, if I should try to plead my case and say, 'God, why are you doing this and I'm this and I'm that,' if he would start to cross-examine me, I could not answer him one question in a thousand." And so Job, recognizing his dilemma, cried out for a daysman. Recognizing this gap between the finite and the infinite, he said, "There is no daysman between us who can lay his hand on us both." Somehow, The distance between God and man is so great that it cannot be bridged apart from someone between. We need someone between God and someone between God and man who could somehow touch God and also touch man, and thereby bridge this vast gulf between the two. And so Job's cry was for this daysman who could stand between the two. As we turn to the New Testament, we read the words of Paul to Timothy when he said, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." So that which Paul was crying for, or that which Job was crying for, Paul said is a reality in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the daysman. He is one that can stand between God and man and lay his hand on us both. For he said of himself, that is Jesus, he said, "I and the Father are one." Thus he touches God. John, when he began his gospel, said, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And then down a few verses he said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." One with God, in the beginning with God. And as Paul wrote to the Philippians, that he was in the beginning with God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet he emptied himself and came in the likeness of man. And so he touches us. John begins his first epistle by declaring that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have gazed steadfastly upon, which we have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen him and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. John realized after the resurrection that Jesus was indeed God in human flesh. He was from the beginning, but we actually saw him. We gazed steadfastly upon him and we touched him. He came to the realization that as he walked down those dusty paths of Judea, talking with his Lord, he was actually talking with God. As Jesus slapped him on the shoulder and was talking to him, God was slapping him on the shoulder and talking to him. When he reached out and touched the Lord, I was touching God. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have touched, the word of life has been manifested to us. He was God. One with God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was able to touch God, but he came in the form of a man and he touched man. And so that which Job was crying for One who could somehow stand between and touch God and touch me does exist in the person of Jesus Christ. So that it is possible for me, in touching Jesus, to touch the Father. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, speaking of Jesus, it declares, "For verily he took not upon himself the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things that pertain to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor those who are tempted." In other words, the fact that he became a man, he can understand me. He can understand my weaknesses. He can understand my fears. He can understand my mistakes. He understands me because he was tempted like I have been tempted. And thus he knows the power of temptation. And thus he is able to bring me to God. He can touch me. He touches the Father. Hebrews 7:25, it declares, "He is able then to save to the uttermost all who will come unto God by him, because he ever lives to make intercession." The mediator making intercession. The daysman making intercession. The advocate between the Father and myself, standing there in my behalf. My advocate. My daysman. Paul said, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who has died, yea, rather is risen again and is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you." And so the truth is this: man can be just before God. There is a daysman, one who stands between, one who fills the gap, one who is able to lay his hand upon us both, one who can make me justified before God by his righteousness. But this bridge that has brought man to God was not created by man. It wasn't man starting at a finite base and reaching the infinite God, which thing would be impossible. I remember when my kids were little, there used to be this school teacher on the TV that they used to watch. Forget her name, but, you know, the Doobies and... I remember she'd start them out with this little song, "Bend and Stretch and Reach for the Sky," you know, and "Here Comes Jupiter and Here Comes Mars" or something. And my little kids would be out there, you know, trying to touch the sky on their tiptoes and reaching up, trying to touch the sky. They didn't even touch the ceiling, you know. But so is religions. Reaching for the sky. And if I would draw a picture of a religion, I would draw a round circle representing the earth. I'd put a little stick man on it, standing on tiptoes with his hands lifted as high as he can, trying to reach heaven. But Christianity stands in juxtaposition to this. For in Christianity, you have the exact opposite. You don't have man reaching God. You have God reaching down to man. Not the finite man trying to touch the infinite God, but you have the infinite God reaching down to touch the finite man. And where I can clearly see the impossibility of a finite man ever touching an infinite God, I can see that there would be absolutely no problem at all for an infinite God to touch a finite man. And the Bible asserts to us that this is exactly the case. The infinite God has touched the finite man in and through the person of Jesus Christ. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And He touches God, but the glorious thing, He also touches me. And through Him, I am brought in touch with God. And through Him, I stand justified before God. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's what Christianity is all about. Man can be justified before God. Jesus Christ is God's provision whereby God touches you and we touch Him. But there is one God and only one mediator between God and men. And that is the man Christ Jesus. Only one way. You say, oh, that's too narrow. Sorry. That's facts. Oh, but I think that should be a broader path. Surely all roads lead to God, to some God. There's only one path to the true and the living God. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the path. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me. If you want to come to the eternal, true and the living God, then you can only touch Him by allowing Him to touch you through Jesus, His Son. There are many gods, and you can come into touch with a lot of different gods, but the true and the living eternal God, there's one way. Through the daysman, the one who lays His hand upon us both. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today for the provisions that You have made for us through Jesus Christ. That You have bridged that awesome chasm that existed and does exist between You, the infinite God, and we, the finite man. Lord, we're so thankful for what You have done in providing for us that means whereby we may be justified, not by our works of righteousness, not by our following some regimen, but by our simple believing and trusting in our daysman, our advocate, our mediator, the one making intercession for us. Thank You, Father, for all that You are and all that You've done through Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. God really doesn't leave you any choices. If you want to come to Him, He said there's one way. The only choice that you have is whether or not you come to God or not. If you want to come to God, He's provided the way through Jesus Christ. If you haven't yet taken that way, if you haven't yet opened your heart to receive Jesus Christ, then I would encourage you to do it today. I'd encourage you to go back to the prayer room and there let the Lord touch you And he will. May the Lord be with you and bless, keep you in his love, watch over you this week, guide you in every endeavor, that you might experience the presence and the power of God in and upon your life as you walk hand in hand in fellowship with him through Jesus Christ our Lord.